the chemical and biological rights to test, they have been doing that for a long time on us, some of it slowly becoming known. Do you see that as being a an abuse that's going to continue?
Yeah, well, this is a really important issue. In 1997 or so, somebody brought this law to my attention. And basically what it is, it's a U.S. Code, Title 50, Chapter 32, Section 1520. And rather than just reading it, basically what it says is that the government and its associated agencies and subcontractors can do bioweapons testing on civilian populations.
Without us knowing about it.
With only a 30-day notice to anybody in authority in the area. Now, somebody brought this to my attention. I said, well, this can't be for real. Why would our legislators allow a piece of legislation to come through? Because, you know, there are supposed to be our protectors, our mm-hmm. representatives. Why would they ever let something like this go through? So what I did is I brought it to the attention of Senator Barbara Boxer, who is our California senator.
Right.
And she said, well, I actually met with her. I said, what is this about? She said, well, I don't know. So she wrote a letter to the Department of Defense, which I've got a copy of their reply.
Wait, she said, I don't know?
She said, I don't know. I'll check. So she went to the committee that handles this kind of stuff and had the committee head right to the Department of Defense and ask them, what is this for? So we get this letter back, and I've got a copy of it, and the letter's from some scientist at the Department of Defense say, oh, we don't do that. So then the good news was is they rescinded the law. It got repealed.
Now, that's good. You probably had a lot to do with that.
Well, now, wait a second. In the 1998 the Military Appropriations Bill, it reemerged.
Oh, no.
Now, listen to the new version. I'm going to read you the new version.
Okay.
This is interesting. It says here, restrictions on human use of subjects for testing of chemical biological agents. It says prohibited activities the Secretary of Defense cannot conduct directly or by contract any test experiment involving the use of a chemical agent or biological agent on a civilian population or any other testing of a chemical agent or biological agent on a human subject with the exception of, and number three is, any law enforcement purpose.
Which could be any purpose.
Well, think about this for a second. They've got this new program called Non-Lethal Weapons.
Uh-huh.
And the Black Ops and the DOD have been putting billions of dollars into developing not only weapons that can incapacitate people, like microwave energy beam weapons.
Right.
And I don't know whether you have read some of the reports that they've got this energy beam weapon online. As a matter of fact, I was at the website for... I think it was Popular Science, where actually they had one of the reporters stand at the U.S. Marine base where they're testing this thing. They've developed a 95 gigahertz heat ray, and basically it costs $40 million has been spent in developing the weapon. It's at this Air Force base, and it says that it gives an intense burning sensation that is similar to somebody holding a hot light bulb against your skin. And if you go to this website, this fellow describes that he volunteers to stand in the ray of this thing, maybe 100 to 500 feet away.
He's the human guinea pig here, huh?
Well, you know, he said, well, let me just try it. You know,
so he can write about it.
That's right. And so he took about 3 seconds of it, and he dove for the ground because it was so painful.
So intense.
And the amazing thing is that they call the system active denial technology. It's been in the works for 10 years at the Kirkland, New Mexico Air Force Base. So this weapon is online. It's an energy weapon, an energy beam weapon. And let's just look for a second. There's another document here I wanted to read that has to do with what they're doing with non-lethal weapons.
All right, and while you're looking for that, how big is this weapon? Is it like a rifle or what?
It's a. It says here that, and I think that on the controlledamerica.com website, when I went over there today, they got a picture of it. It basically is mounted on a small truck, and the dimensions are three meters by 3 meter dish antenna.
Okay, I see it right now. It looks like a Humvee.
Yeah.
With this huge little thing on the top. Yeah. All right.
Now, if I don't know whether you studied some of the things that have happened in the past. There was an incident back in the 80s where there were women in England that were protesting outside an Air Force base over there, and I'm going to get you the name of that Air Force base, because they didn't want the cruise missiles, the nuclear weapons in England.
Right.
And the name of the location was Greenham Common. And these women were radiated with microwaves. That's the way they decided to put an end to their protesting at the gate over a period of time. And they radiated these people for some period of time where they eventually all came down with cancer and other terrible things that happen to you when you get electromagnetically radiated. So it looks like, and that was in about 1984. So even though some of these things have been on the boards for a while, they are experimenting with them ongoing.
And though they say they're non-lethal, eventually they do become lethal.
Of course. Yeah, of course. This is interesting. This is a Department of Defense directive, January 1, 1995, and it's a policy for non-lethal weapons. The thing I find really interesting about this particular document is that they describe who they're going to use them on, and they describe the people as being adversaries. They want to use them for crowd controls, neutralizing combatants, disable, disrupt military logistics, and disruption, da-da-da. Anyway, the important phraseology here is what they define as an adversary, and I should have that page here. It says here, interesting, the term adversary is used above in its broadest sense, including those who are not declared enemies, but who are engaged in activities we wish to stop.
Which could be almost anything.
Of course. Yeah. You know, one of the things that we have in America is the ability to go to the streets and protest when we don't like what the government's doing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what happens if you go out into the street and decide to protest, and all of a sudden one of these devices show up and start to beam everybody, and that's the end of that.
And I would guess this thing is on some kind of rotating scanner type thing. It could hit a crowd of hundreds of meters wide. It just keeps going back and forth.
Well, it could. Yeah, it could.
It'll get to that point.
Many of the people that come to me, though, feel that they are guinea pigs in these covert experimentations.
And what do you mean by that?
Well, I have many clients that come to me and say that I'm being radiated. And one of the things that we do is we take our equipment to their locations and see what kind of radiation is present.
Now, are they in buildings? Where are they?
Many of them are in their own homes.
Okay. All right. And why would they say that? I mean, are these people anti-government? Are they well-known people? I mean,
most of them have some kind of conflict in their history with the government. Many of them are whistleblowers.
Okay, so there's a bona fide reason that they have been selected.
As far as normally when I go back into their past history, there's some kind of conflict that took place, or they were somebody that was in the know on something that was no longer, they were no longer being useful. Kind of like that fellow you were talking about last night. Remember the story that came about the individual's father who was involved with the Roswell?
Oh, the Roswell, that's right. And as he died in his room in a VA hospital, they wouldn't let his family in to see him, yeah.
The symptoms, let me talk about the symptoms for these kind of exposure, because these people call me up with these symptoms. Headaches, eye irritation, dizziness, nausea, skin rash, facial swelling, weakness, fatigue, pain in the joints or muscles, buzzing, ringing in the ears.
This is frightening stuff, Roger.
Skin numbness, abdominal pressure and pain, breathing difficulty, irregular heartbeat, balance problems, body or muscle spasms, convulsions, confusion, depression, difficulty in concentrating, seizures, sleep disturbances, memory difficulties. Some people will have a high white cell blood count, and other people will just plain be hearing voices. Now, on the hearing voices, if you head to my section that I've got on the website, which links over to microwave detection and remote mind control technology, I have the patent for the that was granted in 1989 for microwave hearing.
How do I find that, by the way?
Well,
I'm on your website now.
Okay, are you on the front page of the website?
Front page.
Okay, if you go to the Microtel microwave receiver, you see there's the middle machine, which is a microwave unit.
It says Microtel?
Yeah, just click on that.
Click the machine?
Click on
that. Okay, machine is there. Okay, so it opens up to microwave detection.
Yeah, now you're at the microwave detection, and if you go to the very bottom, there should be a link to the the patent.
All right, you click the patent number, which is 4,000,008-something. All right, okay, I'm into it now. Hearing okay. device, it says.
Wanted to just have a look, and that basically there is a patent for using a microwave energy beam to make people hear voices inside their heads. Now, that's 1989 patent. And if you consider for a second that if that was going to be a non-lethal weapon that you were going to try to develop, how would you go about doing that? You know, would it just be adequate to try to get volunteers in prisons and things like that, or are you actually going to take it out to the streets and try to use it under Title 50, Chapter 32, Section 1528?
Which is what they would do.
So I've got many clients that feel that they are what's known as targeted individuals.
That's incredible.
And there's many, many of them. If you actually go to this conference that's coming up, you'll meet many of these.
What people. Kind of voices are they hearing, Roger?
Well, you know, there are some people that hear voices like as an example, do you recall this woman down south where she was hearing voices from God to drown your kids, and she went out and drowned her kids?
Yeah.
Well, you know, if you were conducting an experiment with somebody that doesn't know they're being experimented on, what would you consider to be a positive outcome of the experiment?
Something angelic, something religious.
Well, not so much that.
If you were the victim.
Yeah, but let's say that you and I were conducting covert experiments.
All right, we're doing the experiment.
Yeah, we're going to radiate this person without them knowing. We're going to put voices in their head that says,
sure.
that says drown your kids.
Sure.
Well, if the person drowns their kids in a period of time.
It's successful.
It's successful. And yet we never interfered in their lives directly.
Indirectly,
exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm dealing with a lot of people that are in that category.